Okay, make sure you're in fellowship as we are here in Roman numeral 6, dealing with characteristics of what it means to be positive, hence the phrase, the fear of the Lord. And that is obviously a person who recognizes the doctrine and importance of Bible doctrine. They manifest it in their lives as the number one priority in regards to their lives, fulfillment of the rebound and maturity adjustment in regards to their Christian life. These are those who commit themselves to NPR, face-to-face teaching. That is your first line of evidence of manifestation of positive volition, the claims at least of that respect. Obviously, further manifestation comes through application of the doctrine outside of Bible class. D, the believer that demonstrates the fear of the Lord is teachable, i.e., they are under humility. Individuals that are negative despise instruction, and as we've seen, are designated as fools by God. Proverbs 1, 7 through 33, back to Proverbs 1, that's verse 7. Continuing on there, the rest of that proverb deals with wisdom, the instruction of God's Word, and His divine design as it separates positive and negative volition in that respect. Hear, my son, verse 8, your father's instruction, and do not forsake your mother's teaching. Obviously, assuming both parents are aligned with the truth of doctrine themselves. Indeed, they are a graceful wreath to your head and ornaments about your neck. They are those assets of life that spiritually provide the individual with a good appearance before God and other positive volition. My son, if sinners entice you, do not consent. If they say, come with us, let us lie and wait for blood. Let us ambush the innocent without cause. Let us swallow them alive like shale, even whole as those who go down to the pit. The types that take advantage of others, even to the degree that they will kill someone in order to advance their agenda, whatever it may be, in that respect. Obviously, we are discriminatory in regards to hanging out with people like that. Discrimination, obviously, is different than prejudice. Our society, and thank you, education system, has managed to twist those words into what their intention was initially in regards to racial equality and things of that nature. Everybody discriminates, but these words are used loosely, just like the head of the federal education system says we are not to discriminate against any of the children and let everybody run in, male and female, to the same restrooms. Who cares? Well, they don't want to have any discrimination against any children, right? They don't let kids come in with guns. I think that's kind of discriminatory. They're discriminating. I mean, obviously, rightfully so. But still, see, to be discriminatory, to be discerning, this is what we are to be. And obviously, our association with life have impact in regards to our lives. Associations often are the reason and cause for things that we may do that are anti-doctrine, don't go with doctrine. So, obviously, we're giving an example there of the worst kind of associations. And the exhortation to the son, that's the positive volition going into the world to listen to the instruction of doctrine that should be filtered through the parental guidance they are under, who are attaching themselves to Bible class for themselves. Throw in your lot with us, we shall have one purse. Yeah, you can trust these kind of people, right? Verse 15, my son, do not walk in the way with them. It's not who you want to hang with. You've got to apply the doctrine of separation. Keep your feet from their path, for their feet run to evil and they hasten to shed blood. Indeed, it is useless to spread the net in the eyes of any bird. Birds can see. Bible doctrine protects. That's what it's about. That they lie in wait for their own blood. They ambush their own lies. What goes around comes around. If you want to be a gangster, then you can live a short life. And that's what a lot of them will tell you, too. I don't expect to live very long. So are the ways of everyone who gains by violence that takes away the life of his possessors. Verse 20, wisdom shouts in the street. Wisdom personified. It's there. It's available. In regards to the world, it's not being hid. It's not esoteric. She lifts her voice in the square. At the head of the noisy street, she cries out, verse 21. At the entrance of the gates in the city, she utters her sayings. How long, O stupid ones, will you let stupidity be naive? Is to be ignorant. See? If you're going to say someone's naive, then you need to say that they are ignorant, that they don't know what they're doing. See, and scoffers delight themselves in scoffing, and fools hate knowledge. The idiots hate knowledge. Turn to my reproof. That's an appeal to positive volition, to realign themselves under Bible doctrine and instruction to correct their stupid ways. Behold, I will pour out my spirit on you. I will make my words known to you. Because I called and you refused, I stretched out my hand, no one paid attention, and you neglected all my counsel, did not want my reproof. I will even laugh at your calamity. I will mock you. When your dread comes like a storm, your calamity comes on like a whirlwind, when distress and anguish come on you. Then they will call on me, but I will not answer. They will seek me diligently, but they will not find me, because they hated knowledge, did not choose fear of the Lord. They will not accept my counsel. They spurned all my reproof. So they shall eat of the fruit of their own way and be satiated with their own devices. Opt for a human viewpoint and the agenda of the SGA in regards to your life to that degree, then those things will be what comforts and satisfies you in life. Let those be your provisions rather than God with the truth of doctrine. For the waywardness of the naive will kill them. Beware, the ultimate ramification is sin and the death. And the complacency of fools shall destroy them. To be complacent regards to doctrine. But he who listens to me shall live securely and shall be at ease from the dread of evil. Proverbs 15, 31 through 33. He whose ear listens to the life-giving reproof will dwell among the wise. The reproof of doctrine is life-giving. It's designed to enhance your life in all aspects of it. He who neglects discipline despises himself. But he who listens to reproof acquires understanding. The same fool that despises wisdom and instruction often despises or misconstrues, if you will, the divine discipline that God may be bringing in their life otherwise. They'll take it as some other aspect of life rather than, you know, God's trying to knock me upside the head, get my attention here. They go on and they'll clock it off to bad luck or it's just a test. Like I said, save it for the Bema. To be teachable. The exhortations that come from the pulpit are not designed to be mean-spirited. They are designed to give instruction. The wise, positive individual looks, embrace it as such. And if one is not teachable, you know, and I've been around these types. I remember one guy back when I was in the real world, as we called it, before I got in ministry, invited into Bible class. This guy was one of those kind of, he thought he knew it all. He wasn't teachable. He went in with an air of arrogance that, you know, you're going to have to really impress me in order for me to, you know, give you an ear type of attitude, rather than just get in fellowship, look at the truth of doctrine and listen to the words and put it together. So to be teachable, intellectual arrogance can definitely hamstring someone in regards to their Christian life. Teachability is a manifestation of true humility. E, the believer who demonstrates the fear of the Lord will have strong confidence. Proverbs 14:26. In the fear of the Lord there is strong confidence, and his children will have refuge. Not to be vacillating in life, constantly on the roller coaster ride, emotionally and otherwise. Those who adhere to doctrine to that degree of commitment, they will have the hope of confidence, confident hope in regards to all things in life. Stand firm as it was, as it is, like a tree beside the still waters. See, strong roots. An earthquake wouldn't shake them in regards to their own commitment to doctrine. That is just evidence of one's will, see, one's determination. God will work this out one way or the other. F, the positive believer demonstrates the fear of the Lord through separation from and hatred for evil. The doctrine of separation, recently just revisited by us, obviously has a play in regards to expression of positive volition or not. Proverbs 3:7. Do not be wise in your own eyes. Fear the Lord and turn away from evil. Wise in your own eyes is that you can rise above negative volition, these types in regards to their impact in your life. Bad company corrupts good morals. One is deceived to think otherwise. That doesn't mean that one is to withdraw in regards to life in and of itself, but those whom one embraces for the purpose of personal socialization and fellowship. People that you want to talk to, talk about really the things of life that are important, etc. You want to have the right counsel, the right kind of person to give counsel in that respect. The wise, positive believer obviously applies this doctrine appropriately. Proverbs 8:13. The fear of the Lord is to hate evil. Pride and arrogance in the evil way, and the perverted mouth I hate. If human viewpoint rubs you the wrong way, join the crowd. That's what the psalmist is saying. Join the crowd. The garbage of human viewpoint is just that, garbage. Again, hatred doesn't mean overt hostility necessarily. You can recognize evil for what it is, can turn you off big time, and you despise it for such, but it doesn't make you a hateful person. It just makes you smart in the middle of a bunch of stupid other people otherwise. But again, one of those concepts that is being misconstrued, misrepresented in regards to our society and cosmos around us. Living in the last days. Makes you wonder how much longer they'll be standing there saying America's the greatest country in the world. I think it's kind of long away, if you ask me, from being in that category. Proverbs 16:6. Why are you still here with them? It's God's geographical will for me. Get off my back. So anyway, that's what I'd say to him. See, I'm trying to help you out here. This is instruction. What are you still doing here then? God's geographical will for me. What are you still doing in Cleveland? It's God's geographical will for me. What? What's that? How much better it is to get wisdom than gold, verse 16, and to get understanding is to be chosen above silver. Is that my verse? 16:6. Try that one. By loving kindness, not that we didn't need the exhortation otherwise, by loving kindness and truth, iniquity is atoned for. By the fear of the Lord, one keeps away from evil. The loyal love, truth of Bible doctrine, is a prescription for evil. The wise believer applies separation as necessary otherwise in that regards. 2 Corinthians then 6:14-18. The rhetorical questions as again presented in that vein. Do not be bound together with unbelievers. Stop being bound together. For what partnership have righteousness and lawlessness? For what fellowship has light with darkness? For what harmony has Christ with Belial? You stand for and represent the truth of doctrine, while the negative individual is representative of Satan's cosmic human viewpoint. Where is their harmony there? Or what has a believer in common with an unbeliever? Or what union has the temple of God with idols? They're out pursuing their sacred cows in life. Your body is a temple. What's your body doing uniting, if you will, with them in cause? We are the temple of the living God. Just as God said, etc. G, the positive believer is living in the fear of the Lord and does not envy reversionists. Guess what? The super rich, the powerful, the famous, they all get sick like we do. They all have other kinds of tests in life like we do. They have to face the nature, the consequences of nature in God's hand in that regard just like we do. They all lose loved ones. They all face death. They lose their possessions. Now, why envy them? Well, they had it for a little bit. So what? I'd rather have it for all eternity. Proverbs 23:17-23. Do not let your heart envy sinners. If you see yourself going off in that direction, I'll be like them. You know, some idiot out there pursuing his sacred cow in life, and at the same time letting his spiritual life go down the tubes. Don't be envious. It's nothing. Everybody that has, you know, this boast in regards to their accomplishments in life, big deal. You know, the badasses of the world. They think they're bad. They don't know what bad is. We'll introduce you to Samson one of these days. We'll show you bad, see. Or rich. Yeah. Intelligent. Oh, let me introduce you to Solomon. All these things. They have the people's boasts in life. You ought to see the arrogance behind it. If you don't, you should be. That's all it is. Look what I've accomplished. Okay. You know, and again, we recognize accomplishments. But still, to place it above the truth of Bible doctrine, and that's what you are in life, rather than God blessing you and getting you there. You know, we understand that. But at the expense of doctrine, forget it. I don't envy you one bit. Do not let your heart envy sinners, verse 17, but live in the fear of the Lord always. Not just some of the time, part of the time. Not the God crowd on Sundays. Always, see. Surely there is a future, and your hope will not be cut off, verse 18. This is my son, and be wise, and direct your heart in the way. Do not be with heavy drinkers of wine or with gluttonous eaters of meat. Those drunkards, alcoholics, people that can't do things in moderation in life. That's their pursuit, if you will. For the heavy drinker and the glutton will come to poverty, end up spending all their money in the pursuit of their SCA salivations, and drowsiness will clothe a man with rags. Those who are lazy, too, will find their own end. Listen to your father who begot you. Do not despise your mother when she is old. But buy truth and do not sell it. There's your grace application. Give wisdom and instruction and understanding. Buy truth and do not sell it. Truth is free. The purchase comes through your endeavors of working for it. You got to get up, actually put your clothes on, get in the car, and drive out here. Hope it didn't put you out too much. Now you got the truth, go out and don't sell it. Hand it out for free. Be gracious with it. See. Ace, the one that has the fear of the Lord, demonstrates contentment with what he has. That's being acclimated to your niche. Again, there's nothing wrong with bettering ourselves, if you will, getting ahead in life, having the nice things of life, as long as it's within the doctrinal constraints, see. Proverbs 15, 16, and 17. Well, we read that earlier. I guess for a reason, huh? How much better it is to get wisdom than gold, and to get understanding is to be chosen above silver. 17, the highway of the upright is apart from evil. Interstate doctrine. He who watches his way preserves his life. To be discerning, that is how you take care of yourself, is be discerning with doctrine, and you're preserving your life. And then compare Philippians 4, 10 through 13. But I rejoice in the Lord greatly that now at last you have revived your concern for me. Indeed, you had concern before, but you lacked opportunity in regards to making monetary gift, providing a monetary gift the living grace, if you will, gift for Paul from the Philippians. Not that I speak from want. He recognizes that his support is based on grace applications of others, as any adjusted communicator would. And he says, not that I speak from want, for I have learned to be content whatever circumstances I am. As it may be for Paul, sometimes he had more than he ever needed. Other times he was in want. But God still got him through in both cases. He becomes that example of acclimating to his niche, no matter what God throws at him in that respect in regards to testing or blessing. He doesn't let the blessing get to his head. On the other end of the coin, he doesn't become discouraged otherwise. I know how to get along with the humble means, verse 12, and also know how to live in prosperity. And in any and every circumstance, I've learned the secret of being filled, going hungry, both of having abundance and suffering need. I can do all things through him who strengthens me. Roman numeral 7. This section deals with some blessings associated with the fear of the Lord. To begin with, Psalm 115:13. He will bless those who fear the Lord, the small together with the great. Does it make any difference what echelon of economic or other means that one lives in? They are under the blessing of God. Whether you got power, positions of power, things of that nature, or whether you're just a general everyday Joe, you know, living your life. Along with that aspect of blessing, it includes prolonged life. God's going to cut you off short, especially as it relates to running your course. Proverbs 10:27. The fear of the Lord prolongs life, but the years of the wicked will be shortened. Proverbs 14:27. Proverbs. The fear of the Lord is a fountain of life, that one may avoid the snares of death. Be the details of life. That's phase two blessings. Blessings in time. Proverbs 22:4. The reward of humility and the fear of the Lord are riches, honor, and life. See, it obviously brings about deliverance on our behalf from our tests and things in life. Psalm 34, 4 through 7. Psalm 34, verse 4. I sought the Lord, and he answered me. In contrast to those who cried out for him, and he didn't answer them. So we're looking at someone who's positive, this being David himself. And deliver me from all my fears. David, a warrior king. I mean, this talking about a spy with guts. This is how you would envision him. You know, with his deal with Goliath, etc., and the courage he shows. But he has fears. See, fears don't always come in necessarily in a package of, you know, what one might perceive otherwise. It can come in many ways. And he says, you delivered me from all my fears. So it is an STA situation he had to deal with, just like the rest of us do. They looked to him and were radiant. And their faces will never be ashamed. This poor man cried, and the Lord heard him and saved him out of all of his troubles. how he perceives himself. The humility behind him, why he was great. The angel of the Lord encamps around those who fear him and delivers them. In Psalm 33:18-22, behold, the eye of the Lord is on those who fear him, on those who hope for his loving kindness, to deliver their soul from death and to keep them alive in famine. Not going to cut them off short. The tests that we may face, our soul waits for the Lord. He is our help and our shield. For our heart rejoices in him because we trust in his holy name. His name being his reputation of being the Word. That your loving kindness or everlasting love, O Lord, be upon us, your chesed, according as we have hoped in you. D, another part of blessing is every legitimate desire in accordance with God's will, spiritual matriculation and maximization of divine good production. Psalm 145:19. Those legitimate things in life that we all obviously have an affinity or desire for, God will bless us as long as it's not going to violate what his plan is for our life otherwise, or our own detriment spiritually. 145:19. He will fill the desire of those who fear him. He will also hear their cry and will save them or deliver them. So on both sides of the coin, God bringing blessing, phase two, blessing in life, and at the same time delivering from tests otherwise. E, Bible doctrine itself is the greatest blessing that comes to those who are positive. That Bible doctrine by far outvalues whatever physical blessings we may enjoy otherwise. Psalm 25:12-14. Who is a man who fears the Lord? The psalmist David asks the question. He will instruct him in the way he should choose. These important decisions that we make in life and otherwise. His soul will abide in prosperity. That's your soul. The real you. Under spiritual prosperity as well as physical prosperity of good things in life. And his descendants will inherit land. That's obviously a physical accompaniment of blessing. The secret of the Lord is for those who fear him to have intimate counsel with God. That intimacy is expressed in our prayers to him and being in Bible class. He will make them know his covenant, his promise. My eyes are continually toward the Lord, for he will pluck my feet out of the net. Deliverance in regards to life. Proverbs in 3, back to Proverbs 13-15. I'll read some of these twice, so just have to grace me out. How blessed is the man who finds wisdom, the man who gains understanding, for his profit is better than the profit of silver, and his gain than fine gold. Those things that man considers to be of most value in life, physically. Doctrine is way outweighs that in value. She is more precious than jewels. Like the woman of your love, see. Nothing you desire compares with her. whatever else your SCA may try to conjure up as being more important. I'm kind of spent this morning, so I'm just going to let us go here. Father, again, we thank you for the truth of your word. We ask God the Holy Spirit to continue to lighten us these things. In Jesus' name, amen. Be sensitive to the prep school.